Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you will come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ in Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson brought to us by Paul Owen.
This evening, after the closing prayer, we've put together a slideshow. So if you would stay seated for about 5 minutes, and you'll be able to see some of the pictures of happenings from yesterday's Family Bible Day. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Mr. Morrow had just picked up an umbrella in a hotel lobby, but it wasn't his. He was about to walk out of the hotel when the rightful owner pointed out his mistake. Well, Mr. Morrow was so embarrassed by the whole thing, he offered his apologies, and then he picked up his own umbrella and he went on his way. But the whole incident reminded him that he had promised to buy his wife and daughter an umbrella. So to his delight, he found a local store that had those umbrellas on sale, and so he picked up two. And as he left the store, walking across the parking lot, he was about to get in his car when he saw the man that he'd seen earlier that day in the hotel lobby. You know, the man he took his umbrella? So he saw the man and he was eyeing him kind of suspiciously because now he had three umbrellas hooked over his arm. And the man looked at him and said in sarcasm, "Well, sir," he said, "it looks like you had a good day after all." Wow. I mean, he blushed, you know, it was just instinct, I guess, but he'd really done nothing wrong. He'd done nothing wrong. What had happened is he had been misjudged on the basis of a quick evaluation that was very incomplete of any evidence. And so that's what happened to him. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever been misjudged? Has it ever happened to anybody? I mean, maybe something that you said or did and someone took it out of context and believed A when it was really B. Here's another question for you. Have you ever misjudged somebody else? Yeah, we've all done that, haven't we? And sometimes the issue of misjudgment is a whole lot bigger than an umbrella. John was driving home late one night, and as he was driving on that highway, he saw a hitchhiker, and against his better judgment, he stopped and picked up the man. And they're riding, and he's thinking to himself, "Why did I do that? I know I'm not supposed to pick up hitchhikers. I mean, this guy could be a thief, a robber, who knows?" And so he thought, you know what? He thought, what I'm going to do is I'm going to check and make sure my wallet is okay. Well, where his wallet was is in his coat, which was on the console between the two of them. And he reached over and he patted that coat to feel that wallet, and it was gone. It was gone. He was so angry, he pulled over his car. He slammed on the brakes. He looked at the man and he said, "Give me the wallet and get out." Well, the hitchhiker gave him the wallet and got out. And so he came home and he was telling his wife about the whole ordeal. And she said, hey, hold on. Before you get started, I wanted to remind you that you left your wallet at home this morning. He had taken the hitchhiker's wallet. Let's read these words together. I hope that you're in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Jesus said this. He said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, this really is a fascinating portion of Scripture. It is a Scripture that is often quoted, but yet sometimes not really put together in a total package that Jesus had intended. Jesus here was talking to those people in his hearing, and these people were making all kinds of judgments. But they were not right judgments. And so they said as condemning critical judges of other people. If we isolate those words and look in your text, just isolate those words, judge not that you be not judged. I mean, it is possible for us to walk away with the idea of toleration. I mean, a let live and let live kind of philosophy. I mean, I've heard people say you shouldn't judge. Well, these people grossly misunderstand the words of Jesus, don't they? It's very interesting that Tolstoy, the Russian novelist, read these words and he wrote this. He said, Christ here forbids the human institution of courts of law. That's what he concluded. And so people today, they say, you know what? You should not condemn or judge anything. I mean, even as if a guy that walks into a theater and starts shooting people, I just can't judge that, they say. There's some people that believe that you should not evaluate anything. You know, judge not that you should not be judged. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. He who is without sin cast the first stone. Judge not that you be not judged. And so everyone should be able to do with whatever it is that they want to do. Have you noticed something in the generation in which you and I live? We hate biblical truth, don't we? We hate doctrine. We don't like strong men with convictions that will stand up against the evils of this world. Men who are not ashamed to disturb the status quo. But yet, these men are called troublemakers, bigots, homophobes, if you stand up. But I thought about this. I thought, you know what? If it were not for strong men with convictions, there never would have been a reformation to the breakaway from the Catholic Church, to put the Bible in the hands of common man. There never would have been a restoration to break away from denominationalism, to restore the New Testament church. Oh, how we need men and women today that will stand up and be strong against the evils of the populace today. And so, the populace says to such people, you can't do that. They say, judge not that you be not judged. So look, our Lord in the context is not saying that you cannot have courts of law, because if you go over to Romans chapter 13, what you will see is it affirms the rights of nations to rule its people. And so Jesus is not condemning any kind of judging. As we will learn in a little bit, Christians must be a discerning people. We have got to know truth from falsehood. I want you to think about this. This whole Sermon on the Mount is predicated on a clear understanding of the distinction between true religion and false, hypocrisy and reality. So we're not to be undiscriminating. We are not to be blind. I want you to open your Bibles and you look down at the sixth verse of our text. Look at that. He says, look, do not give what is holy to dogs, or cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and then tear you to pieces. Look, there's no way that you and I would be able to obey such a command if we did not know who the hogs were, who the dogs were, so that we did not give them our spiritual pearls, right? So that verse necessitates that you and I be discriminating people. Look in verse 15. Go down to 15. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you how? In sheep's clothing. He said, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Let me ask you a question. What if you and I were just people who only perceive things superficially? Well, if that's the case, all we would ever see is just the sheep's clothing. We would never understand that there is a wolf under there. We must be discriminating people. There must be a judgment. So we know who the false teachers are. If not, they will ruin the local church. In Matthew 18, we are told that we are to confront the sinning brother forthrightly. And if he will not listen, we are to take one or two more. And if he will not listen, we're to take it to the church. What's that? Judgment. Being discerning people. Or what we mentioned this morning. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5, he said, you need to put out from your midst the one who is sinning, the immoral brother who won't repent. Why do you do that? So the person will be lost? No, they're already lost. But you do that in hopes to bring them back. But if that person sits there in the pew Sunday after Sunday, living such an immoral lifestyle, who will not repent, their influence will begin to spread throughout the congregation like gangrene. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Hymenaeus, Alexander, they were put out. Why? Because they blaspheme. They were corrupting. Someone has written this. Whatever else Jesus meant, he did not mean that we should ignore the road that leads to destruction, or fail to inspect bad fruit, or be fooled by wolf in sheep's clothing. Jesus warned, do not judge is surely consistent with the warning against false lifestyles, false teachers, and bad apples. Righteousness involves distinguishing between good and evil. Judgmentalism means picking on people, jumping on their failures, criticizing their faults. Discernment and disciplines are dimensions of biblical love we cannot afford to live without. So tonight, what is it that Jesus would have you and I to learn from his words on the Sermon on the Mount? Number one, this kind of judging, this critical judging requires that we have all of the facts. My friend, when you and I make a critical assessment of someone, we are assuming something that is impossible. What we're assuming is that we know everything that there is to know about the situation. But you know what? The truth is that righteous judgment, listen to me, takes time to evaluate. It really does. You know, the Bible forbids hasty judgment. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 18:13, he said, look, a man who answers a matter before he hears it, he said to him, it is folly. It is shame to him. So we have to be careful not to make judgments with less than full knowledge. Often in the scriptures, when we see judgment that has to do with Almighty God, it's usually something like this in Romans chapter 2, verse 16, where it says, God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. You know what that tells us? You see, only God can see the whole picture. Isn't that true? You see, we have to be careful because sometimes that we can make a criticism of somebody in the church. We can be condemning to somebody in the church. And we do so sometimes just on one little viewpoint. One little small slice of the pie. Because that's all we see. And I want to tell you, it can do a world of harm. But this is what Jesus said in John 7:24. He said, judge not according to appearances. He says, but you judge with righteous judgment. Oh, I want to be pleasing to God when it comes to the way that I judge. I really do. Have you ever made a judgment, and then after you made that judgment, you learned a little bit more, and you thought, ugh, I just made the wrong judgment. Have you ever spanked the wrong child? Have you ever done that? Alan Forey, have you ever done that? Jim says you have, right? Well, I want to tell you, I mean, not that I don't know who I'm spanking, and you could have five children not know that, but I know generally who I'm spanking, but sometimes it's the wrong one. Sometimes I discipline a child, and it's the one who's crying, and I go to the rescue, only to find out that the one who's crying is the guilty one. That child needs a paddling. But I want to tell you, that's easy to do, isn't it? Because, you know, you get there and you hear this much and you think, oh no, poor soul. And you make the wrong judgment. Well, that not only happens in our families, but it also can happen in our Christian relationships. And so tonight, if it is that you may have a critical, condemning spirit, and you say, well, Paul, that's my talent. That's my talent in the Lord's church. Well, why don't you do the same thing that the one man talent did with his talent? You bury it. We don't need that here. Do away with it. Number two, the second thing I believe that Jesus would have us to learn from his words is that judging with a critical spirit often reflects or mirrors one's own sins. I mean, that is the most interesting principle in this text. Look what he says. He says, judge not that you be not judged. Sometimes people who are judgmental will criticize others' weaknesses while they are guilty of the same sin. I want you to do this. I don't want you to leave the place, just mark it, but I do want you to flip over to Romans chapter 2, verse 1. The Apostle Paul talks about this very problem, and I want you to see this. Romans 2, 1. He says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, every one of you who judges, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, there it is, that you will escape the judgment of God? So he says, here are people who are criticizing people out of a reservoir of their own sin. So tonight I want to say, if you're a critical, judgmental person, you better be real careful, because you could be telling everybody else a whole lot more about what's going on here than you realize, because you're reflecting in your criticism what's wrong in your own life. True story. This is a true story. In a Connecticut city, there was 53 residents of a particular neighborhood that signed a petition to stop the reckless driving on their streets. Well, the police set up a watch with a couple of squad cars in different areas of the neighborhood. And they just kind of did surveillance and they watched. And after four nights, they caught five violators. True story. And do you know what? You know what, don't you? All five offenders did what? They signed the petition. So it's so very easy for us to see our own weaknesses in our own life and to be very critical of those weaknesses that we see in other people. Number three, judging retaliates on the one who judges. Judge not that you be not judged. Now look at verse 2 here. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And the measure that you use will be measured back to you. So he says that the judgment that is not according to a Bible, listen, it's not according to the Bible, has a boomerang effect. Not only does it hurt the other person, but it comes back and it hurts you. Alan Foy, in the reading this morning in preparation for Glenn's sermon, read the model prayer. And I think it's interesting that the only commentary that Jesus made after that prayer, he said this: if you are not willing to forgive others of their trespasses, you will not be forgiven. And so a Christian who's going to be judgmental ends up reaping the same thing back on their own head. You sow judgment, guess what? You're going to reap it. If you don't want people to be looking at you, making a critical analysis of every little thing that you do, guess what? Don't do it to them. Isn't that simple? That's so simple. Number four, judging reverses the order of priority. Judging reverses the order of priority. And this really is key to the whole passage, because here Jesus is going to give us an illustration, and it is quite humorous. I mean, Jesus grew up in the carpenter shop, and he says, you know, here is a guy. You say, well, look over here. Oh, my, look at that. Look at that speck in that person's eye. I mean, look at it. Can you believe it? Just look at it. It's over there, and he's trying to look at that speck. And Jesus says all the time, the fella has a plank in his eye. Now, can you visualize that? I mean, the plank there, and he's hitting the walls, and he's hitting everybody in the head, and he's trying to find that. I mean, that is kind of funny, isn't it? What is the priority of judgment in your life? Here it is. Am I to be more strict with myself and more lenient with others? Or am I to be lenient with myself, making excuses, and harsh with others? Listen, I am to have a higher standard of accountability in my life for goodness, for righteousness, for holy living, and I am to have love and charity toward other people. I like what Paul says in Romans 14:5. He says, who are you to judge another servant? And so if we have this critical spirit about us, we get this whole priority system that God has given us in His Word, and we turn it all upside down. And so that's going to lead us to our next point, and that is that the judgment, listen to this, retards the correction of one's own problems. These two points really go together. He said, look, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye when you have a plank in your own eye? In other words, that man is not doing any self-examination. He's only examining other people. He said, look, if you would take the plank out of your own eye, then you could see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And I want to tell you that that is a key to spiritual growth, isn't it? That is a key to spiritual growth. You see, what happens is sometimes we get so preoccupied with all of the faults and weaknesses of everybody else that we fail and we cease to inspect what's in here. And Satan, he does a great job at that. He says, Paul, what you need to do is get real concerned with everybody else so you never get concerned and serious about what's going on in your own heart. Look at these verses. Galatians 6:4. But let each one examine his neighbor's work. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? No, it's not what it says. It says this: but let each one examine, listen, his own work. You see that? Priority here first. 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we judge others, we would not be judged. That's not what it says. He says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. And then 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And then he says, test yourselves. So I really don't have any right demanding you to fix your problems unless I'm willing to acknowledge and work on mine. But what happens in marriage sometimes is very interesting. We get it backwards. We say, you know what? Yeah, I may have a plank in my eye, but you have a speck in yours. And when you take the speck out, I'll remove my plank. No, 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 no. Jesus says, you got that backwards. You start with yourself first and you get it right. And then you can do some inspecting of other people. So I want to say this. all of us, at some degree, make these critical comments, and we can all do better. But what I want to do tonight is I want to ask you three questions to determine if you are a critical, condemning person, if you have that spirit about you. So it's a little of a test, and you can take it. Here it is. Am I more lenient on myself when committing certain sins than I am on other Christians when they commit the very same sin? In other words, suppose that you were to hear a sermon on being judgmental and criticizing. Just suppose that. And you were in the audience and you're hearing it and you're saying to yourself, well, I sure hope Sister So-and-so's listening to this. Oh, if Brother So-and-so was here tonight, he could hear all. He sure needs it. Do you go through life comparing yourself to other people? I mean, do you base your goodness and your righteousness upon other people? Do we as a church base our effectiveness and our soundness totally on the Word of God? Or do we say, hey, you know what? We're more sound than some other churches in Huntsville. See there? So we're not really, the Word of God really isn't our standard, but it's other people or other churches. Do you make allowances for your family and friends in matters that you don't make for other people? Is there favoritism in your judging? Let me say this as I close tonight. It is such a joy to be able to be a preacher here at West Huntsville. I mean, to enjoy the atmosphere of harmony and faithfulness to God. It really is. And so what we ought to do at West Huntsville is look at our weaknesses in light of God's great strength and determine that we as individually in a church, that we're going to be a bright beacon in this community. And pledge this, that we will never, ever let this spirit of being critical, condemning, ever get a hold of us. Say, I'm not going to let that happen to me. Tammy, if I'm being critical and condemning, and then listen for the answer. Have some accountability in your life with some other people. I know that I've been condemning and critical. When I start that, will you stop me? Will you do that? Because look, if we will keep it out of our lives, I promise you this, it will never, ever enter the church. And isn't that great? And we don't have that spirit about us, and we don't want it. We don't want it. And praise God. Now, tonight, we offer and extend the Lord's invitation to anyone who would be subject to the invitation. If it is tonight that you're not a child of God and you want to become a child of God, well, things have changed, but they really haven't changed. You can still repent of your sins, be buried for remission of your sins in the water grave of baptism, just like back at the first century. Just like what happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And you can become a child of God, be added to the kingdom. If you have any sin that you need to repent of, will you come now as we stand and as we sing?
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen. If you have comments or questions, Paul can be reached by email at owen@westhuntsville.org.